three words that make God to be God. And it's those three words that I want to look at with you for a few moments this morning. Those three words are omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, that describe God's characteristics. I do not know about you how strong your feelings might be in reference to your need for God, but I need God. I want God. I need His help. I need His presence. I need His strength and His guidance. The first one of these words that I want to call to your attention is the one omniscient. Now that word simply means that God knows all. He knows everything. He is all-knowing. And I need to plug into God because I do not know everything. We need to plug into Him because we know very little. You know, many people in our world today get disturbed when you talk about God. They would like to go through life without a thought with reference to God. And they think, well, now why can't we just go about our business and our professions, our jobs, without God? Why can't we go about our educational pursuits, our schooling? Why can't we operate them without God? In fact, we've had problems with our legislators legislating in regards to God and prayer to God and so forth in our public schools. Many would like to remove all references of God that are found on our public lands and on our money and so forth. They'd like to have all these references to God removed. They want to know, why can't we live life without God? Well, you know, when you begin to think about that, sure, you can do whatever you want to without God. If you would like, you can try to conduct your business without God. You can operate your school systems without God. You can have marriage without God. You can go through life without God. You can do whatever you want without God. In fact, you can go through life and conduct these things without a lot of things. You can conduct your life without ever going to school or college or to have any type of education, whatever. You can live without the United States of America. You can live and have life and conduct your business and so forth without ever being able to read or write or without the benefits of modern technology. You can have life without medical doctors and the medical profession if you choose to do so. You can travel without making use of our modern automobiles and airplanes. You can live without, and perish the thought, teenagers, without telephones. Why? Why would you want to go through life without those things? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go through life without the benefit of those things and without God as well? I need God. I need His help. I need His wisdom. I need His guidance. I want the best information possible for my marriage. I want it to be successful. I want the best information and guidance possible in dealing with my children. I want the best information and guidance possible when it comes to how to conduct business affairs. The source does not matter where the information comes from. I'm not too proud to take that guidance or information from anyone that might know. I had a teacher in high school. I learned one thing from him, I believe. And that was this saying. He said, even if a person is a fool and you can learn something from him, then learn it. The source doesn't matter that much. But we seem to have a great stubbornness about recognizing and admitting our need for God. Mankind wants to go it alone without God's guidance and benefit. Why would we want to do that?
Sometimes back I heard that Aristotle Onesimus, one of the richest people that ever lived, was interviewed, and he was asked a question, hypothetical question, that if he didn't have all of his money, if he only had a nickel in his pocket, he was broke. How could he become successful in a material and financial sense? And his reply was something to the effect that he would know how, that the simple was very secret, it was even trite, it was obvious, and yet he said it was profound. He says, I'd know what to do. He said, I would simply get myself into the presence of great people. Now, he expanded on it by saying, he said, great people have what is needed to succeed in the material world. They have the money. They have the ideas, the knowledge, the information. He says, that's much tougher. And then the third thing he says, they have the contacts. They know the people. He says, they know the particular people to do a particular job. The person that has the information, the knowledge, the ability, the craftsman. They don't just know attorneys. They know the attorney for this particular job that has the right information. They don't just have a CPA, but they have and employ the CPA that can do what they need to be done. The artists, the publishers, the public relation people, the mechanics. He says, they are the ones that can change my world if I was broke and I needed to start all over again. And then he said, you don't have time in one lifetime to do it all. To specialize in every field so you get yourself into the presence of great people who have the know-how, the ability, and so forth. I don't know how that thought strikes you, but whenever I heard that thought, oh man, it's like a light going on, the brightness of the noonday sun, because I thought, who knows more than God? If the answer is getting around important people, the people who are great, who have the know, the ability, the knowledge, then I need God. There's none greater than God. Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Talk about money. It's all God's. I talked to a fellow here the other day who's son-in-law owned over 100 banks. You know, that's chicken feed compared to the money that God has under his control. Talk about your contacts. God knows everyone. Talk about ideas, information. He knows it all. Oh, yes, you can go through life without God. My friend, if you want to try to conduct your marriage without one bit of instruction from God's Word, you can. You can conduct your business. You can raise your children. You can do it all without God. And if that's what you choose to, then congratulations, I say to you, you're a lot tougher than I am. But all in all sincerity, I say to you, you're a lot dumber. Oh, preacher, what do you mean for that? You know, smart people plug in to others for knowledge and information. People that turn to those who are in the know are not dumb, they're smart. And when it comes to turning to God for help and knowledge and instruction, that's not dumb, that's smart. Smart people have surrounded themselves with the people who have the knowledge. the lawyers, the CPAs, the criminal attorneys. They get lots of advice and counsel, tax attorneys, corporate attorneys. That's not because they're dumb, that's because they're smart. I read about an incident in the life of Henry Ford. A newspaper had made the comment that he was ignorant. He sued the paper. In the trial that ensued, they thought, well, the thing to do was to show that he's not a very smart person. So they asked him a question that, I don't remember what the question was now, I've forgotten that, but not important, but it was a question that a lot of people would have known the answer to. And Henry Ford answered by saying, whether I know the answer to that question or not is not the important thing. But he said, even if I didn't know the answer to the question, all I have to do is to punch a button at my desk and people are going to come running with the information and the knowledge to answer that question. I don't have to know everything. He says, educated people, smart people, know where to get the information because they know they do not know it all. Amen. I remember another man telling about being in the presence of one of our presidents at a particular crisis time. He had to make a decision as to what he was going to do. He had an endless flow of people that came through his office that day, and in group sessions with some groups of them, he asked them questions. He would sit and he'd listen, and maybe he'd say, I understand sometimes, or he'd grunt sometimes, but it was always questions, and they were doing all of the talking. What was he doing? Was he dumb? No, he was smart. He was plugging into the people who had the knowledge, the information. Person who plugs into God, my friend, is not dumb. He is smart. Young people, you grow up in a world that thinks it's dumb to turn to God and to plug into God for knowledge and information. Consequently, over and over again, we see our young people too proud to plug into God. Too proud to go for Him for knowledge and instruction. And we see them suffering the consequences of their lives being messed up, maybe ending a marriage, ending in divorce or drugs. And then they come to me and other preachers and even social workers and so forth, and you know what they say again and again? If I'd only listened. Young people, it's not dumb to turn to God. Don't fall flat on your face before you turn to God. With many people, it's too late. Their lives are messed up. Their marriages are wrecked because they were too proud to turn to God. Be open to God's knowledge. We must not let our knowledge and our pride trip us up and prevent us from seeking help from God. You know, God's knowledge is endless. His contacts are unlimited. He had breakfast at the White House this morning. He might have lunch, he will have lunch with the most hardened of criminals throughout our land today. Tonight, he will be in the palace with the Queen in England. Tonight he curls up on the streets of Calcutta and puts his arm around orphans sleeping naked on the street. God has been everywhere through all time. He knows everything. He knows everyone. And you and I need that type of knowledge in Him. He has never missed out on one event of history. He sits in the living room of each and every one of us, day in and day out, And yet, how often do we even let him finish a paragraph? Do we listen to one sentence that comes from his lips? We spend hours racing here and there to find happiness, to find love, to find security, the things that will bring us happiness in life, and yet we spurn the knowledge that God would give to us and that would provide us with those things. We need God because he knows everything. With that, let's move on to that second big word. And I promise not to spend as much time on the next as on the first one there. All right, Rob? I had some subtle hints last night that about 20 minutes was enough. That second word is omnipresent. God is everywhere. I don't know about you again, but I need God to be with me. I need to know that he can be with me at all times. Some people I'm thinking, I don't need God to be with me. I can go on my own. I can stand up on my 2 feet. I can soar like the eagle. I can take care of myself. But you know, I don't care who you are. You need God. Psalms 103, verse number 14. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, yes, there's passages that speak about us soaring like the eagle. There's also passages that speak of us as being like a moth. You might touch in your fingers, and you know, if you look and it's gone, there's just a little spot on your fingers. Our lives are fragile. I don't care if the president of the United States of America, you need God's presence. We all have insecurities. We all need that assurance, that comfort. Ask what's next. If you think that a bottom cannot fall out of your life, no matter how high you soar. Oh, we can go through life, everything is just fine, nice homes, nice cars, the nice income, the CDs stuffed away in the bank. We can feel secure and begin to think that we do not need God. But then one day we open up our mailbox and there's a little letter. We looked at the return and it says, U.S. Then it's I.R.S. Or you pick up your telephone one day, and there's a very unsteady voice at the other end delivering a death message. A baby, parent, child. And we turn to God, do we not? We need God. I need his presence. I need to be him to be with me. I need to know that he loves me, that he cares for me. A young black man on a ledge of 11 stories up, a ledge of a building in California. People were trying to talk to him. They were leaning out the windows trying to communicate with him, and it seemed he just looked right through them. Finally, a friend recognized him. And then down below on the street, he began to clear people and to cover it with white butcher paper, row after row, and he began to write a message on it. The message said, come on down, let's talk. Do not jump. You see, the young black man was dead. And they couldn't communicate with him. Well, we have such imperfections in us. We have such things in us that keep God from getting the message to us. But if God could get the message to us, it would be one of assurance and love. A message that would say, don't jump, let's talk about it. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your children. Do not give up on your dream. God will be with you. His promise is Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We need his loyalty. We need his
His acceptance. We need His assurance. We need His friendship. His friendship. We need to know that God loves us, that He is with us. We need His presence to be with us, assuring us of forgiveness of our sins. Otherwise, we go through life with guilt and shame. In English history, you can read about King Arthur and Guinevere commits adultery with Sir Lancelot. And then in shame and remorse, she is confines herself to a convent, locked away for years, survival ration, because of her shame and remorse. I think this illustrates, I'm telling this because this illustrates, I think, our need for God's forgiveness. Then after years, one day she hears a promotion outside. It's the sound of horses, riders in the saddle, their swords making a noise. As the army approaches, the banners, the flags are waving, the drums are beating. King Arthur is approaching the convent. She's locked away inside in darkness. Guinevere, locked away. And she hears footsteps down the hall. Under her door, she can see light filtering through. The footsteps get closer. Violet's door opens. There's Arthur. And she rushes to him. They embrace. They kiss. She begins to speak to him, begins to make excuses, and begins to apologize for what she's done. And he hushes her and he says, the sin is sin. It's in the past. I have forgotten it. I have forgiven it. There are a lot of people in our world today who are carrying the same type of load of shame and guilt, going through life afraid that one day God's going to catch up with them. And He's going to want to rub their nose in their hypocrisy and in their shame and in their pride and their self-righteousness. And many people think God wants to get a hold of us by the cuff of our collar and tell us how bad and how evil that we are and the punishment that's awaiting us. And we feel that way because of our shame and our guilt. And maybe they're afraid that one day they're going to step around a corner and they're going to come face to face with God. Or out of an elevator, come face to face with God. Or maybe they picture themselves running from God down a dark alley. And there God confronts them. But you know what happens when people come really face to face with God and they come to understand the message of God? The message of God is the sin is sin. It is past. I have forgiven you. I gave my son's blood to die for you upon Calvary's tree. I love you. That's the message that God wants to get across. He wants to be with us. I need that. The third word is omnipotent. This simply means that God is all powerful. He has all power. And again, I need the power of God in my life. You need the power of God in your life. We have children that are probably going to go to school this year, and for the first time, they're going to start learning their multiplication tables. I remember learning multiplication tables. There was one table I didn't have any problem with whatever. You know what I'm talking about? That zero table. Boy, I learned it quickly. One times zero is zero, 10 times zero is zero, anything times zero is zero. I never had a problem with that. I don't think I ever missed one of those on the ground. God is all powerful. But God times zero. God, all the power in the world is out there, but you take it times zero, you still got zero.
But God times you. What does that mean? That's not limited. God's power is not limited. Look at his power. He kept the prophet alive for 3 years with a little bit of oil and meal during the drought. This oil and meal in the hands of a widow. God times one widow. Look at the power. Little David killed a giant with a stone. God times David. How was that? Right? There were 5,000 hungry people on the one occasion in the life of Christ, and one little lad was found and had a lunch. One little lad times God fed the whole 5,000. I need that kind of power in my life. And you and I are dumb if we do not plug into that type of power that was available to us in our lives. It is a gift in our lives that we can change. We may feel insignificant, we may feel unimportant. God has taken people who were insignificant, who looked upon themselves as unimportant again and again. But he is sent through his power. Daniel, a young man, put into the vast number of the king's wise men, made into a human computer, he was made into a eunuch. It perhaps made him speak as an effeminate type of person. And I'm sure if you or I were to see him, we would not have been impressed with his outward appearance and with his voice. But God times Daniel. Daniel ruled. The power of God. God is omnipotent. He knows all. I need that knowledge. We must not wreck our lives just for here and for all eternity because of our pride and being afraid to plug into God. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. We can never escape his presence. I need him to be with me. I need his loyalty, that dependability. That assurance of my love for him and of my forgiveness. He is omnipotent. I need to plug into his power. Christian, I don't know where you might be with me. But maybe you've been too proud to plug in to God like you should have been plugged in. Maybe you've been a little bit ashamed to let all people know and acknowledge that you are plugged into God for his knowledge and his presence. Power. And you've been running from that election. If you had, my prayer would be responded to the invitation of the Lord. Turn your life around. Plug into God like you've never plugged into it before. To make you move God. But if you this morning are not a Christian, and you've never plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, we want to invite you to quit running from him. Quit trying to escape his claim upon you. He would call you. He gave you his son and died for you before he comes. You don't need to go through life with shame and feelings of guilt burdening you down. We're going to sing a song that speaks about the blood and grass that we have brought in the world. That's the blood of God's Son. The blood that was given. So that your blood and my blood would not be contradicted. That your blood is shed that we might be forgiven. Do not run from it any longer at this point. If you need to respond, make your way down the aisle.